Welcome back. Glad you're here. My name again is Harrison Ross. For all the new faces in the room, we will get to know each other, and we're excited that you're back. Guys, this summer, the last couple summers, but a lot more this summer, I've gotten really into wakeboarding. I love it. I love board sports. I don't know if you can tell, but this body is not made for board sports. If I haven't met you yet, I'm kind of tall, and so I know I may look a little shorter against the curtain here, but my center of gravity is like way up here, but for most boarders, it's way down here, but I still love it anyway. I got this wakeboard. I won it for getting most improved competition between a lot of the staff here at Watermark. How that happened is because the first time I got out on the water, like we talked about last week, I'm just face planting after face plant after face plant. I'm hurting everywhere. My forearms are on fire, but I kept going. I kept going at it. And so this summer, I've tried to get a lot better, and I keep going, and I keep trying, and I keep growing in strength. But I started just where anybody who ever wakeboards was. So we'll do it again. I asked last week, who's ever gone wakeboarding before? Raise your hand if you've gone it, wakeboarding. So some of you guys understand, or you've at least seen it, or water skied, or know what's going on. And I started the same place everybody else did. You're just sitting in the water, and you got to learn to get up. It took me 3 days to learn to get up. I mean, 3 days of just going one after the other and failing and it popping out of my arms and keep going, but I finally did it. And then I finally got up and I would kind of wobble over there and learn to get my balance and I kept going. And finally it got to where, okay, I could get up and I could go a little bit. And then I had to learn to really, I mean, in wakeboarding, you're going forwards, but you're going sideways, just like skateboarding or snowboarding. And so I'm learning this kind of weird, awkward, like, no, I'm used to kind of walking like this, but I've got to go sideways to go forwards. It's weird, but I got used to that. Then I got used to turning. Then I got used to really feeling comfortable on the board. And it finally got to the point where I could get up and I could just hang right there. I was good to go. And I'd just be cruising right there. But I've been wakeboarding for probably 2 years now, and what if that's all I could do? What if I came up here and I was like, guys, I'm really into wakeboarding. I love it. It's the coolest thing in the world. Come check this out. And I get up and I'm like, see this? I'm doing it. You're like, wait, I thought you did this for 2 years. You were like, hey, come check me out. Come see how I've been doing. And okay, yeah, that's great that you're up, but wait. What if that was it? What if I didn't try? What if I couldn't even get up out of the water? What if I couldn't even, like, I couldn't ride along the water, but I couldn't even get up out of the water after 2 years? Now, if that's you, I'm not trying to offend you. It's okay. We're going to learn together. But there's no shame in that. Womp, womp. But what if I just stopped trying? What if I was just like, no, I'm comfortable there. I'm good. Just riding right in the wake. What if pro wakeboarders were like that? Okay, I'm a scrub. I love to do it, but I'm not that good. But there are these guys who are doing 360s and flips, and you see those guys on the magazine, and they're like, poof, and their hair's going way down there, and they're soaking wet. And it's like, whoa, that's so cool. But what if wakeboarding was not like that? What if they didn't even try? And you're like, all you know of wakeboarding is just this kind of, hey, I'm going like this. I'm cruising along. I'm the guy. Here we go. Let's go do it. Like if someone said, hey, come with me, you'd go, I mean, that's a little lame. What if these pro wakeboarders, instead of having competitions of who can do the best 360 with four flips, upside down, going Superman, all this crazy stuff, what if instead it was, hey, man, who can go the longest? Who can go the furthest distance? You'd be like, there's no one who wants to do that. But sometimes I think that's what we do as the church. We're so focused on getting people up out of the water. We're so focused on that first experience of they're saved, they're good to go, or maybe that's you. You were so passionate. You were so excited. It was hard at first. You're kind of wobbly. You had to learn it was kind of different. Of the world tells you to go one way, but Christ tells you to go this way. It's a lot easier. And you're coming to church. You're riding in the wake. You're here at wake. You're riding in it, and it's comfortable. But what if that was it? And I think sometimes for some of us, if we're honest, that is it. And we're supposed to be the church that goes out and tells the world, this is awesome, this changes my life, this changes everything. But you and me, we're just standing there. And someone kind of goes, no, that's not what I hear Jesus talking about. I hear about changing the world. I hear about turning it upside down. But I just see you just kind of riding there. Our life is a reflection of what Christ has already done. But sometimes, as the church, we're just sitting comfortable. Last week, what we looked at, we're going to jump into that to the second. This week, what I want to look at is getting outside the wake, getting out of your comfort zone, and then jumping the wake. How even greater things than these we can do because of Christ. So last week, open up your Bibles, John 15. You got your Bible app, you got something. I hope you're taking notes. Small group starting up this week. I hope you guys have an awesome discussion, digging in on how we can be the church. We can be Jesus to the world, and we're going to learn how that is today. How we can get outside the wake and then jump the wake. So, to recap, let's look at John 15, 4 through 9. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I loved you. Abide in my love. That's what we learned about last week. What that means to abide, to remain, to stand strong, to hang on, to keep going. We got to stay connected. We said that God is the boat. God is the boat, to recap last week, God is the boat that goes before us. He plows the way through the waters of life, if you will, and leaves a wake for us to follow. He shows us the way to go. He is the power. He does it all. We don't have to. But yet we try and get up on our own. We got to trust in him. The way we do that is we hold on to the rope. We hold on to his word. And we stay connected to him. Guys, God's word is so powerful and so life-giving. But I get distracted so many times, and I just kind of let go of it, and I kind of go a week, and I coast around, but I'm going to sink right back into the water. You got to stay here. This is how we stay connected to God. And then you just got to hold on and enjoy the ride. You got to trust in Christ and know that he's going to take you there. Stay focused on him. Don't let go, but keep your eyes focused on him so you know where you're going. You may fall, but he's going to come and pick you back up. And then you just abide. Abide with him. Stay, remain connected to him. So let's go to 15. We're going to jump into this week. It says, whoever, verse 5, kind of in the middle, it says, whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. So it says that if anyone is in Christ, which a lot of us in here would say that we are Christians, we are believers. And if we abide in him, just like if there's a tree that's growing, that's giving life, you're going to see some kind of fruit from it. If we abide in Christ, Jesus says, you should see a change. You should see a difference. Later, it says, I think in verse 8, 8 or 9, it says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. Before that, verse 8, that by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. The Bible also says, how will people know that you are a disciple? Based on how you love one another. The world is supposed to see fruit from our relationship with Christ. See a difference, see a change. But a lot of us are just sitting there and coasting, just enjoying the ride. And no one gets really excited about that. So how can you bear fruit? What does that mean to bear fruit? That imagery, that kind of agricultural something, it grows. It becomes something that becomes sweet. It's connected to that vine. It shows that there's life there. There's growth. There's newness. It's different. It's refreshing. It's not just that boring old tree. There's something colorful and new. You pull it off and you taste it. It is so sweet. That's a new life in Christ. That's a life that has been abiding with him, connected with him in his word. He is the vine, and we are those branches that are connected to him. And we're supposed to show the world. And so it tells us to abide and bear fruit. Guys, if you're not attached to that vine, you're not going to bear fruit. That's the first place to start. If you don't know him, jump in and know him. All you got to do is say, God, I'm in. Jesus, I believe that you did that for me. And then, guys, if you've said that, if you've made that, he's done it for you. He's done all the work for you. But you've got to keep working at it to be disciplined, to be obedient, to be faithful, so that fruit will grow and grow what Christ is already doing in you. Don't just stay stagnant. Big word for don't just sit still and stay there. So that's kind of what we looked at in John 15, digging in a little more to bear fruit. You've got to bear fruit. The way we do that is sometimes we got to get outside of our comfort zone. So going back to the wakeboarding analogy, you're sitting there, you're sitting comfortable, you're here at wake. I'm going to take that a little too far, but we're at wake. We're riding in the wake. So picture with me, if the boat's going this way, the boat's up here, it's going to extend way out. All of you guys behind me, you're in the wake. You're right here at church. You just show up. It's easy. It's fun. It's comfortable. And you know, maybe that's tough for you right now, and I'm glad you're here. Maybe you're new. You're scared. We're glad you're here. We want to grow you in that. But if I'm wakeboarding, the first time somebody said, hey, why don't you get outside the wake? I was like, oh, no thanks. That's a little freaky. There's a lip there. I don't know what to do outside of that. This water's real smooth and it's nice. What if I fall? What if I don't do these things? Guys, I want to challenge you to get outside the wake. I want to challenge you guys to get out of your comfort zone, to go beyond what you can bear. I want to talk about how we can do that, how Christ has already done it, and how he's going to give us the strength to do it. So you're in John 15. I want you to go back one chapter to John 14, verse 10. We're starting in verse 10. John 14, verse 10. We're going to read it together. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? This is still Jesus talking to the disciples. The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father's in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Verse 12, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. Greater works than these I will do because I'm going to the Father. That verse is crazy. I'm going to unpack it in a second. First, let's go back to 10. He says, he establishes, hey, I'm in the Father. The Father, God, is doing the works through me. And then he says, hey, if I'm in you, if you're abiding in me, I will then go do those works through you. He says, if you don't believe what I'm saying, which I hope you do, because it's in God's word, God said it, Jesus Christ said it, I hope you believe it. But he said, even if you don't, look at what I've done. Guys, there's 37 miracles recorded in the New Testament. It's 37 different miracles of what Jesus did, and there's probably more that weren't recorded. Things like healing the blind, healing the sick, healing the lame, casting out demons, walking on water, calming the storm, feeding the 5,000, pulling a fish out of nowhere, telling them to cast it on the other side and pulling all these fish from nothing. These are the miracles that God did. And we see those in there and we study them and we're like, oh my goodness, that's amazing. And he says, you got to see that and believe that I'm God. And then he goes to verse 12. And what does he say in verse 12? He says, whoever believes in me, which that's you and me, hopefully, will also do the works that I do. So if you abide in me, you're going to do that. You're going to live the way I lived. You're going to love the way I love. People are going to see God the Father because of you. Is your life that way? I know mine's not all the time. But then he goes on to say, the works, if you're in me, you will also do the works. And greater works than these you will do because I'm going to the Father. Greater works than Jesus? That's crazy. That's nuts. You look at that in your Bible. I look at that. I'm sitting with her. There's no way. Jesus is the Son of God. He is God himself. Come down to earth, displayed for us, and he's doing these miraculous things. And Jesus is saying that I can do greater things than these. What does that mean? He says, greater than the 37 miracles that I did on earth, you will do. Why? Because we're the body of Christ lived out. Because when God ascended into heaven, he looked at the 12 and he said, I'm going to use you. I want you to build my church. I want you to send them out. I want you to love the world and make disciples. We see miracle after miracle in Scripture. Guys, those miracles are happening today. But sometimes, oftentimes, we don't see them as miracles. We want the story of where someone's arm is like hanging off and totally broken and automatically it's just back and healed. But guys, there are miracles happening right here among us. And there's stories of life change. And I hope you're seeing them in your life. Just some things that I want to make you aware of. I got a friend who was a drug addict, taking sleeping pills, taking all kinds of things. He got caught at school with them. He's heard the good news of Christ for a long time, and he just says, man, I don't believe that. I know what you're saying. I know you say that I'm going to hell, but I'm out. I don't buy it. He is now asking questions. He's following the Lord. He's pursuing Jesus. He's digging in. I think of a guy who was looking for life in all the wrong places, looking for visual imagery to give him life and all of these things. And now he's preaching the word and going off and telling other people where they can find life. I think of a time where I sat with a bunch of guys in a circle, probably 8 to 10 guys, and we sat there and we just talked about the stuff that we're hurting, the stuff where we are addicted to, the stuff that we need to lay our lives down in so Christ can come out and he can be the one that lives in and through us. I think of a guy who came and was interested in the church, and he came here and he was excited and he didn't really know what was going on. He was a complete distraction to everyone around him, and now he's a disciple. Distraction to disciple. That man, his name is Hayden Campbell. Some of you may know Hayden. Hayden's here today. He was helping set up. All of those stories are people in this room. Kids, students like you who are seeing life, whose lives are being changed because of the gospel, because of what Jesus has done, because of these leaders investing in their lives, because of people being loved, because of leaders that you're sitting around right now who have gone, Jesus has changed my life. I want to tell you about it. Follow me as I follow Christ. Look at what's going on. And I hope that you guys see that and you go, I want to do that too. I hope you see stories of life change around you. I talk to person after person who is living in death because they don't know Jesus. And all you have to do is tell them. 7th and 8th graders, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge everybody, but specific to 7th and 8th grade. There were 154 of you who came down to Oak Cliff with us this year, down to South Dallas. And we did awesome things. We were sharing the gospel with our bracelets. We were loving on people and having a great time. It was an incredible week, and I was so proud of you. Are you still doing it? Are you still being an example to the world, an example to your brother or sister, an example to your parents, an example to your neighbors? Are you living a different life? Are you abiding with Christ and bearing fruit because of what Christ has done in you? Don't let that just be a camp high. Don't let that just be a time that you do that once a year and then you come back and you get comfortable. We learned, don't just be merely hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And guys, I want to tell you, jump in because it is so, so, so good. You look at wakeboarding, you see these guys who do bigger and better tricks and more air and more spins because they work hard. They're not having to be the one that does it. The boat is taking them where they need to go, but they grow in strength. They have other guys around them encouraging them, loving them, and they go, you know what? I am scared to death, but I'm going for it. And they go, and because the boat is pulling them and gravity's doing the work too, they land it, and it's awesome. You guys have to grow in discipleship and discipline and how you love one another, how you're faithful, how you're obedient. Again, Christ has done the work already for salvation, but we've got to continue to lay our lives down and abide with him. So this summer, I had one goal, one thing I wanted to do, and it was so scary. I'd learned to get outside the wake a little bit. I could kind of learn and carve, and I could get out there, and I could do these things, but I wanted to learn to jump the wake. And the wake, it's huge. You're standing behind it, and it's this huge gap. And I was so excited, but I'm so scared. And so I'd start and I'd kind of carve out a little bit. I'd kind of get there and I'd come in and I'd just kind of roll over a little bit. And I had a buddy who said, dude, cut harder and just jump. Just hit it hard. Stand up and go. It's like, man, I can't do it. I can't. I'm so scared. I'm going to eat it. I'm going to fall. It's going to hurt. And he said, man, you got to go. You got to do it. The boat's going to do the work. And so this summer, I worked at it hard and I finally got it. And I went off the wake and I got it. I don't know if in that shot I landed it. Probably not. But that's not for me. That's not for me. But that's just an example. Because guys, that's what we have to do in our own spiritual life. So here's what I want you to walk away with. Two things. Number one, you got to get outside the wake. Don't let this be a place where you just come to every Sunday, you coast in, you see your friends, you see your people, you get in a routine, and then the next day you go to school and you just don't ever tell anybody about what you heard here or about the goodness of the Jesus that you serve. Get outside of the wake. Don't just get comfortable and get out of your comfort zone. You may be a person that doesn't like to talk to people. You may be so scared of what to say, scared of failing, scared of just hitting it hard. But guys, just tell them. The Lord's going to give you the words to say. Get out there. I want to challenge each and every one of you. You are going to a mission field, a battleground. I don't care if you go to public school, private school. Tomorrow, for many of you, you start school with a lot of kids who may be just as scared as you are. Tell them where life is found. In Christ. Second, jump the wake. Jump the wake. Take what Christ has already done, the wake that he's done, the way that he's telling you to go, and go and do even greater things than these. And how do we do that? When all of us together go out and boldly share what Christ has done in us. So things that you can do that to jump the wake, be faithful, be obedient as possible, be as faithful as possible. The next one is be as loving as possible. Go all out. Be bold. Tell the good news of Christ. People will not know unless you tell them. They may not come to Christ right in front of you, but you can plant the seed. Go big or go home. There's a verse in Acts 17 where it says, man, they bring these people to the government and they say, hey, these guys are crazy and they're disciples of Christ. These guys are crazy. They're turning the world upside down. Guys, that's what I want to do in your schools. I want you to do that. Christ wants you to do that. He's saying, hey, abide in me and go out. You will do the very things that I have done, even greater things than these you will do. So I want you to get out of your comfort zone. Get outside the wake. Cut in hard, jump the wake, and tell the world. People will know that you are my disciples based on how you love one another. If you're just coasting and just coming to church, it's not going to wow anybody. But if you're doing a 360, upside down, some aerial flip, someone's going to go, whoa, I want to do that. Can you teach me? And say, yeah, man, come on. Next week, we're going to learn how we can invite people to jump on the boat with us and go hard. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for these students. I thank you for a brand new school year and an opportunity to go out and proclaim your name. I thank you that you just ask us to abide in you. You say, hey, I know that you're insecure. I know that you feel weak. I know that you're scared. But hey, it's okay. I'm going to give you all the strength, all the power, all the words to say. I just need you to go. I just need you to love them. I just need you to know their name. I just need you to care. So Lord, open our eyes to hurting people around us. Give us a couple seconds just to reach out to somebody. And Lord, give us a few minutes each day where we can sit with you and abide with you. Lord, I thank you that you love us. I thank you that you died for us and you want us to live with you right now. So I pray for these students as they go out. Pray for boldness and courage and strength. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.